I worked on this message, and I had a, I said earlier, I had no idea who would, what was going to transpire and cause all this violence in this country. And people are angry, you know, when you shut people up, and they're closed in, and they've had shortages, and blah, 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 or they feel like they have. And this anger just builds and builds. I look for a place to vent it, and I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, look at all this. And it's been waiting and waiting, looking for a place to vent all this stuff. And then we do it the wrong way, and completely out of control. I don't know where it's going to lead to. And then before this, though, God had been working on this message, and it was staying on top. And it's like, staying on top. Yeah, living above the crowd. It's just staying on top. And it's like, and this word out of Ephesians, and so I won't fiddle around with this, so I won't keep you all day. But there was this passage out of Ephesians. It's like, you know, we got to stay on top. And it was like, I'm serious. I just could sense the Lord was just saying, there's things coming, and you need to, you, Tony, and your people, your church, and anybody you're in contact with, you need to tell them, you got to stay on top. Stay on top. Get above it. And get above and stay there. Don't come down to the level that you're going to see. It's going to get worse for a while, not better. Now, I'm not talking about COVID either. I'm talking about attitudes, political maneuvering, violence. Listen, it's an all-out do-or-die deal this year. And we all need to know it. The stakes are going to be pulled out, and all the stops are out, and it'll be a violent, brutal thing till November. So just get ready for it. If you think you're seeing weird things now, just the stuff I hear in the wind, and some of the talk, and people give me a call from different places here and there, it's like, really, is that what's being talked about in other places? Yep. It's like, okay, hope it doesn't happen. We'll see. So staying on top. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll skip around a bit, but let me begin with verse 29 and just kind of read through 5. First couple of verses, chapter 5. You shouldn't have it up there. I'm so used to that. No, you will not have it up there because we can't run the projector. I'm so sorry. So I'll just have to read it to you. And you can follow along, whatever you're following in. But here's what it says. It says, do not let any unwholesome word, unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. I don't know about you, but most of us flunk the thing on the first verse. Isn't that sad? I mean, you can't even get into the text and you've already said, okay, I'm out already. Did anybody fail on the first one? Oh, yeah. Has anybody passed the first verse this week? Okay. But anyway, he says, do not let the unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Yeah, that's right. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Oh, man. He's not asking much, is he? You ever thought about that? You ever just prayed about it and said, God, you're not asking much, are you? God has a sense of humor. I talked to him that way. It's like, you didn't ask much there, did you? Yeah, I am. And so it goes on. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we sure don't want to do that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's good news. You don't want to grieve him. But you know what else it says there? Did you catch that? It's important. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed. That's important. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit. You have the mark, the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. It means nobody can mess with you. I mean, that's it. You're going to heaven. So it's important. See, we emphasize one thing, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's huge. But we miss what else is there in a verse. And you've got to look at all of it. And it says, because I'm sealed, he seals me. He puts the mark, whatever the seal of God is, it's on me. And it says there's a mark on us. God's mark is on our foreheads, as a matter of fact. By the way, that's why, one of the reasons, Christians cannot take the mark of the beast. We're already marked with the seal of God. And God will not share with the devil. And so when the time comes and the sixth thing works itself out, and however, you know, they're already wanting us to go, a cashless society. And I saw some of the film, I know, and the words, it's Sweden, is it Sweden? And they're inserting those little discs right here between the thumb and the finger. And then they're talking about putting a chip in. We can't. Now listen, we're already marked with God's mark. You think it through. I can't take somebody else's ownership. I can't let, he says not to take that mark, but that's another message. Just want you to know. We're sealed in the Holy Spirit. That's good news. So whenever God looks at us, we're sealed with his seal. We belong to the King. And that's it. So we don't want to grieve the one who sealed us. That's what he's saying. So then he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. Has anybody had any slandering going on this past week or two? Okay. And along with every form of malice, is this stuff tough? Be kind and compassionate to one another. And I turn on the TV. If you want to be kind and compassionate, don't watch the news. You get angry real quick. You really will. It won't take but a second to take all your joy away. And be kind and compassionate to one another. And he says, oh, by the way, you know, you got to forgive each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. This is not to burden you. This is how to stay on top. And let me finish this, and then we'll comment on a few things. And he says, be imitators of God. What is he saying? He said, model your life after God. And how do you do that? We can't see God. No, but we see Jesus. We saw Jesus. It's written in here how Jesus was. And what he's saying is, you imitate what Jesus did in your life. You imitate, learn how he handled situations. How did he handle Pharisees? How did he handle bad people? How did he handle people that came to him in sin? How did Jesus talk to the woman at the well? What did he do when he was rebuked and when he was criticized and when he was abandoned and deserted? That's what he's talking about. He said, just imitate that. Even, listen to me, even when you don't feel like it, imitate it. That's the key to growing in Christ. It's doing the things you don't feel like doing at the moment, but you do it because it's what Jesus did. It's what he wants me to do. This is powerful stuff. It is good stuff. There's a lot of things in my own personal life. You know, I just lay it out there. I tell you the truth, where I struggle, where I don't. I'm not going to ever try to pretend to be something I'm not. But there's things I have to imitate that I don't feel like doing. I have to, you know, there's people got to talk to you, and you listen, and you your flesh wants to say one thing, but you realize that no, what am I supposed to do? What situation comes to mind where Jesus had this same experience, and I'm supposed to imitate him in this and do what he wants me to do? And I find that very difficult at times, but it's very rewarding when you just go ahead and just let go of it, stay on top. Stay on top. And you got to say to yourself, I got to stay on top of this. I'm going to stay above it all. I'm going to stay above this thing. I'm going to stay on top. I am not going to bend down and just, you know, let fly another insult. I'm not going to start screaming like this person's screaming. No, sir. And if you begin to condition yourself and say, I'm going to be an imitator of the Lord. And by the way, as we get into the notes here, let me just say this to you. And we all know this, but it needs to be said. If I'm holding any unforgiveness, any anger in my heart, there's no way I can imitate Christ. Because that's going to dominate. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to let my emotions go. Listen to me. I know. I work with people trying to help them. You know, and in my own life, I've had to go through this. But I can't allow anger. I can't allow bitterness. Unforgiveness to remain in my heart. It can be there, but it needs to go. Because as long as it's there, I will never ever be able to imitate Christ the way I should. Now, I ask permission to say something. I won't insert it here on this thing because I was hit a while ago with a priceless statement from a young man right back there. He's sitting at that back table in his daddy's lap right now. And you know what he said to him on the way up here? We don't need to wear masks to church. God's love is bigger than that. Now that's, see? And isn't it? That's, look at that. And thank you. Thank you for saying that and for letting me share that up here. And that's what I want us to see. And that was shared with me. He had no idea what the message was, but here it is, right? And God's love is bigger than this anger. It is bigger than this unforgiveness. And it is. If you just let it in your heart, God's love is bigger than that. And by the way, and I'm not trying to, I don't want to play on this too hard, but besides the physical mask that people are wearing, haven't a lot of people been wearing masks anyway for a long time? And you never know really who's behind the mask. Because we put on an act, we perform, we say the right church words and dress the right church way, but you see what I'm saying? I think the mask physically we're seeing now really is just finally bringing it out in the open and saying, gosh, people have been wearing masks for a long time. We don't really know who's behind that mask. And God is saying, drop the mask, the pretense. Let go of the stuff. Come on out, stay above it. And so anyway, that I just got a little pastor coming up there. Sure do. So be imitators of God as dearly loved children. God, see that? Dearly loved. He loves you dearly enough to give his life for you and rise again for you. And live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's a bunch more to this. You can read it on your own. But this is what we're going to hit on today. And then he gets into all the things in your life that really just God wants out of there. But let's just talk about staying above the crowd and not letting all this unwholesome stuff. By the way, listen to me. I want to get up so bad. I can't. So anyway, but I just heard the orders a while ago. You stay right in the middle of that screen right there. Okay. So this is our YouTube, Facebook thing that we got going. So we're done with that. But I want to get up, move around, and just get so excited, you know, get into these messages. But listen to me. If anybody thinks that you're going to be perfect with this, I know you don't, but just let me say this. God wants you to be consistent. He knows we're not going to be perfect. He knows you're not. It's just going to happen. Somebody say something, you're going to have a bad day. It's not to excuse sin. It's just that we're going to blow it. What he wants us to do when we blow it is admit that they don't blame it on somebody else. Just say, you know what? I lost my temper. I just cussed. I just said this or that. I just wanted to hit that person right upside the head. And God, I'm sorry. Forgive me because that's what I wanted to do. And he said, I forgive you. Let's go on. I didn't tell you to be. You had to be just perfection. I want you to be striving for that. Everybody with me? You know, being an imitator of Christ, I'm striving to be that. I won't be perfected until he gets me out of this body. Because once in a while, and once in a while, there's just some folks out there that I don't want to cuss them. I want to whack them upside the head. Okay, thank you. I have company. Anybody else feel that way? Thank you. Oh, well, all right then. I'm in good company here. It's not that I want to tell them off. I run away. I want to knock them off. You know, and it's just there. And it's like, where did I get that? I don't know. I mean, you know, you grow up with a dad who whack people and roll them under the truck or something. Maybe it came from that. It might be genetic. I don't know. You got an uncle beats up people at the post office. Your family's kind of violent, Tony. They don't talk, they hit. And so, you know, it's family generational thing. Whatever the deal, that's my thing. What is yours? Some of you just want to tell people off? Any of you are just it's just in you to tell people off? Okay, thank you. Tell them where their real home ought to be. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. and so you're not going to be perfect, but it's just being able to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and don't grieve him by denying it. See, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? He's given to you when you accept Jesus into your heart. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit by not confessing your sin and you grieve him by blaming other people. Just confess it and say, I did it. Yeah, they weren't doing very good. They helped this to happen, but I chose to do it. Now I'll give you something here, and this is, you know, some weeks I was walking down to the feeder, and I got a middle feeder, and I was walking down there, I checked everything, I was looking, big rattlesnake comes crawling right in front of me, and anyway, you know, you catch your breath, he was big, and especially from where I live, in South Texas, rattlesnakes are huge, but he was big. And ended up, he had 15 rattles. And his rattles were so long they fell over his tail like that, and he was dragging the end of them off. He had 15 that he had not dragged off. That's a rattle. That's a big snake. So when that happens, you get snake conscious. And then I walk out there, and I'm going to, and I've been, you know, on the tomato plants, he starts squishing the bugs. And I know, you don't want to know, the pastor does, but I just reach up there, and then it's like, oh. So I go to and grab the water hose and reach down to get the nozzle, and there's a snake line under the nozzle. I grabbed the nozzle and I saw this head come up and his little tongue. It's like, oh. It's like, oh, this is too much. I didn't say praise the Lord. After seeing that big rattlesnake, and then he reached, and I had my hand on, I've got this big round nozzle on the hose, one of those handle things. They're really great. You shoot a stream out here. Anyway, and I just grabbed that, and that snake's head comes up beside that, right by my fingers. And I thought, Tony, it wasn't poison, it wasn't around. But there was a thing after I quit shaking for a minute, and it's like, that could have been, and that was God showing you, don't take anything for granted. And you got mad. I was so mad I didn't tell you the mad part. Before I heard from God, I grabbed a broom handle, and I want you to know something. He went to be with whatever snake Jesus there is out there. Now, I don't normally do that to non-poisonous, but it's the rattler and that. And then, have you ever grabbed one of those caterpillars with the hairs that set you afire, the asp? I was pulling leaves and got one of those, and it went right up. Look at it. If you can't see it, but there's these little tracks right up my finger. That burned like fire coral. And I mean, that hurt. This all happened yesterday. And then I was out there working, and I got over then, and a bee flew up my shirt. I did. A bee. It's like a bee flew up, and I thought, what's that under my shirt? You know, so what do you do, right? You know? And that thing stung me right in the side, and I've got a finger with tracks on it. I got a whelp on my side, and it's like. So you then, now here's what I'm trying to get to. It puts you on edge, and you're just ready to unleash all of that that's building up in there, and you're wanting to just, you know, that's how the enemy works, and it builds. And the bee sting, and I didn't tell you about all that, and I've got these caterpillar tracks on there, and then that rattlesnake, and then the snake under the nozzle, and then you're just snarling, and you're saying, just somebody get in my way. And then the Lord says, that's not staying on top. If you need to say something to the snake, go out there and look at all the little pieces and say something to it. You with me? If you need to be mad, channel your anger in the appropriate place, not the inappropriate place. If you're mad at somebody, then you need to deal with it and that somebody and not let it flow out to other somebodies who had nothing to do with it. Everybody here? And for God's sake and your sake, don't take it home. Don't take it to your loved ones. Now, that's enough. That's about all I can do there. So let's talk about, you know, how to stay on top of the crowd. And Ephesians says, no, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, or what's good for necessary edification and so forth, for making, you know, for making others feel better and building them up. So, you know, there's the word in the Greek there, and what it literally means is unwholesome. And in the Greek word for let no unwholesome, unclean word come out of your mouth, that word literally means rotten, causing rottenness. And so what he's saying is, don't let something rotten come out of your mouth that causes more rottenness. You say, well, what does that mean to me? It means if it's rotten, it's been in there a while. You see, because what comes from the mouth comes from where? The heart, the mind. And if we let putrid stuff, if you let stuff stay in your head that's trash long enough, what does garbage begin to do? Stink and ferments. And that's what this is, that's what he's using in a spiritual term, is if you let these negative, nasty emotions stay in your heart and mind long enough, they begin to ferment, they get rotten, and so they'll come out rotten, and whatever they get on, they what? Corrupt. And they get rotten. And a rotten experience. And it goes above bad language. We always think bad language, but and when you read this and put it in its context, you know, and then you read the rest of Ephesians and then going to Colossians and use the scripture as a whole, He's talking about other things that are rotten that come out of people. And you know what they are? They're gossip, malicious gossip, slander, anything that injures or sparks dissension. Anything that causes people to be separated, anything that's aimed to hurt other people. If you've been in church long enough, churches, been to other places, you've been through this, where someone started an undercurrent and then got something going. I mean, that's what he's saying is absolutely no, no, no. Grieves the Holy Spirit. When you gossip, you get slander, you get dissension going, he's saying that's not of God. Even if there's some truth in it, it's not a God. Let's handle this. I've been asked this question, and once in a while, I need to address these things when they're asked. Because if one or two ask, others ask. It's like, Tony, if we hear something or something said to us, I mean, you know what you do? If you've got an offense, if there's a problem, go to the person that you have the problem with. If you hear that someone said something, go to them and ask them. If you got a question, ask the person. What does the scripture say? Go to your brother if there's an offense and deal with it with them. And then what does it say? Alone. And take care of the problem. Don't do anything that injures or gossips about another person. It says we are instead to speak what? Benefits. Confer a blessing is what it means. Listen. Our commission from God is to speak a blessing. And I want you to know I'm having trouble speaking a blessing over some people I'm seeing on TV. Are you? But he says that I'm to speak a blessing. It's like when somebody's up there and they're speaking corruptly and you know they're lying through their teeth and they're doing stuff. How do you speak a blessing? This is what I speak. And you can decide for yourself if this is what God wants you to do. But most often I hear that. First of all, I speak the truth about what I feel at the moment. It's like, God, I just can't take this. My spirit says they're not telling the truth. That's wrong. And then it's like, so what are you going to do about it? I ask you to take what they're saying and turn it right back on their own head and open people's hearts and minds to see the truth that will set them free. That's what I do. And God, I refuse to receive what they're saying. Don't let me stand there in the shower after a while, or tomorrow, or the next day, and think about this and rehearse it. God, take this out of my head. I don't want it going around in there. I'm asking you, God, to turn this around and let them condemn themselves and through it, break their pride and bring them to Christ. That's me. If that sounds a little too pious, believe me, I have to go through a lot to get there. But that's what I'm supposed to do, and that's what we're all supposed to do to imitate God, to imitate Christ. Our commission from God is to speak a blessing. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel and what? Baptize them, name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, teach them everything I've taught you. That's what we're here to do. That's our mission. And we can't allow this junk in our lives. Let's move on to the next thing to stay on top. You know, you've got to stay on top of life itself. And Colossians 3 says you have been raised with Christ. Listen to this. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So he says, set your heart and your mind up here. Don't let it be brought down. I keep thinking of mountaintops and climbing mountains, and I used to, I'm not so great at it anymore, but I still try when I get a chance. Used to go, and often my whole family, as you know, used to go to Colorado. Well, just for the adventure, I wanted to climb. I had to climb whatever mountain was there, at least get up as high as I could. And so I'd go out, I'd start before daylight, and I'd start up the side of the mountain and find my way and get a path. Everybody's telling me, you're crazy. There's nothing up there. Well, you know, but it wasn't that I wanted to find something. I wanted to accomplish something. I wanted to get up there and look out over the other mountains and the rivers. And it's beautiful. And it's like I get up there and I'm hurting all over and you can't breathe. You know how it is when you get up high. But it was worth the climb. And you get up there and it's like, I don't want to come down. I wish I could just stay up here. And God is saying, look, listen to me. And through that, I didn't know it at the time, but the lessons taught by the Holy Spirit through this is, Tony, that's the Christian life. You're climbing and you're climbing. You're to be getting higher all the time. Don't let anger, don't let this malice, don't let garbage, rottenness in your life keep making you slide back down. Keep climbing, and you'll get real close. You'll get real close to the top of the mountain in your walk here on earth. It's like, well, when do I get to the top? And you know what it is? He says, it's when I call you home and I'll set you on top. But I'll get you really high. And our life is to always be going from one little plateau to another to another. Well, you're really high. You can get way up there in this life. But you can't for a moment keep looking down. You keep looking up and keep climbing. Is everybody with me? And every time I've been angry, every time I've something just gnawing at me and upsetting me, and I'm just dwelling on it for a long time, I'm sliding back down, and I've got to go back over the ground again. Keep climbing. Stay on top of life. There are setbacks all the time. Just don't do it to yourself too often. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't do it by getting mad and saying something nasty and cussing all the time. There's a place to say, you know what, I'm going to strive, I'm going to climb this thing. And yes, it hurts. Man, my hips and my back, used to my calves, would be on fire. But friends, the climb was worth it. And this climb in the Christian life is worth it. And by the way, when I was climbing that mountain there, I had a backpack on and had a rifle on my shoulder. You know, I'm just digging in. We're usually a pretty heavy coat because it's cold. I'm never climbing alone here in my spiritual walk because Jesus Christ is always there to help me. The problem with me is, and probably with a lot of us, we don't hold out our hand and say, help me. Till we're about halfway down to the bottom, and then we cry out. Why don't we cry out before we get to the bottom? When you see your feet slipping, cry out to Him. What did Peter do? When he was walking on the waters, it kind of come, yeah, come on. He goes and he's doing it. And then he looks at the waves and said, this can't be happening. He starts to sink. What did he do? Did he wait till he was underwater? No, immediately he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. Why don't we do that at the top? So we don't slide all the way back down. Anyway, just remember this. If you want to stay on top of life, let the Spirit live in you. If you grieve Him, confess it. When you sin, you mess up, just get it out there. When somebody's really aggravating, you just want to hit them upside the head. Be honest about it. I have to. I can't afford to let them be there. I tell God, I sure want to hit them today. Yeah, I really do. I just feel like trashing somebody, and it's like you get too old for that, son. It's in your head, you can still do it, but I don't know if your body's right there with you. And here's Tony's thinking, always has been. Well, my body may not be what it used to be, but I can pick up something and equalize it. And it's like, don't we all think that way? It's like a good old-sized tree limb will make up for some muscle loss. And God said, yeah, sure not imitate me, though. Where did you see Jesus hitting somebody with a limb? Well, I don't know, but it should be in there. You with me? And I know, and God has a sense of humor, but He knows what we feel. And so He just wants to listen to me. If you want your life to be on top, let Him live in you. More than that, let Him live through you. Let Him keep you filled with His presence. And let the Holy Spirit protect you and teach you and mold you into who God put you here to be. And like He said, God's love is bigger than that. God's love is bigger than that. Whatever you encounter this week, you can take the words to a little one back there, and that's of God to reveal that to. See, out of the mouth of babes. God's love is bigger than that. You say that to yourself. I'm going to stay on top of this, and God's love is bigger than this right here. I don't have to take this insult that I was just given. I don't have to buy into this, and I refuse to receive that because God's love is bigger than that. That's powerful. That really is going to sum up the whole message. And so let me start closing this with saying, listen to me. Maybe that old thing, I don't remember how it went, but sticks and stones won't break my bones. Words will never hurt me. That's one of the biggest lies I was ever told as a little kid. I found out as an adult, and I've said this years ago, whenever, but I mean it. I'll take the sticks and stones. Maybe that's for a kid that was that way. But I'll tell you as an adult, I'd rather take the stick or the stone than the ugly word anymore. Hadn't you? Words do hurt me. That's why he said, don't let something unwholesome come out of what? Your hands? No, your mouth. Because the head won't let the words go. That words are powerful. They can be uplifting. They can encourage somebody to accomplish something they never thought they could do. Or they can take somebody straight down into the pits of hell. Yeah, words do hurt. They're not neutral. They have impact. And God wants us to use the words as Christians. He wants us to use His word, the words coming out of us, to lift people up. Let me wrap this up by saying this. Let what you feel be above everything. Don't let your feelings get a hold of you. Don't let your life be dominated with destructive feelings. Let the Holy Spirit rule. You know, you have to take a bath to be clean. Well, just go a step further and take a spiritual bath and get it all out before God. Don't let your feelings be running your life. We're supposed to let the Holy Spirit control our feelings, and so often people's feelings control the Holy Spirit. You ever had that problem? We all have. You speak what you feel. Bitterness opposes kindness. Bitterness comes, by the way, you know, you say, where does bitterness really come from? It's from harboring anger, but you know what was behind the anger? You know where people really get bitter? They start keeping score of wrongs. They got this little mental tablet, and they're writing it down in that little mental tablet. You said, you did. Couples do this to each other. And they'll get in some quarrel, and all of a sudden there's that little tablet comes up. And, you know, back in 1967, you know, and it was a bright, shiny day, and this and that, and there was a bird tweeting in the tree, and you said this. Guys, that happens to us all. By the way, guys, we forget real easy, but there's some people in this room that will, if you mess up, 27 years from now, they can tell you what that was. Okay, and 27 years from now, he's going to hear about what he just did right here. Yeah, that's exactly right. We all do it, and I'm picking on it. But the guys do it too. It's amazing the stuff that I hear when I'm listening to people. And I say, well, what are you really angry about? And we finally work through all the mask and get into the real part of the life. And, well, 15 years ago, okay, when I was working with so-and-so, and I found out that they were talking about me in the bathroom. Okay, what did they say about you? And they tell me exactly what they said. And I'm thinking, you're a pastor a while. You wouldn't have taken that too serious. You know, we get used to insults in this business. But anyway, it's usually something trivial. And it's usually something like, you know, my hose weren't the right color, or my shoes didn't match my dress. And it was something like that. And I just been hurt ever since. It's like, seriously? Seriously? But then I've heard guys do the same thing. Well, maybe they weren't talking about their hose not being right, but you know, but they're talking about their equipment, or somebody made fun of their truck. That and boy, I think you make fun of a guy's truck, he'll never forgive you. Ladies, don't do that. If you just don't make fun of his truck. That's and that's, you know. Anyway, the point being, we'll hang on to things like that, and God is looking and saying, "Are you serious? You're really hanging on to that?" I mean, it's like, and the question is, do you need that? Some people need to be mad to keep going, because they never learned how to be happy. They've never learned what joy is in the Lord. And bitterness opposes kindness, and we keep score of wrongs. Let it go. If you look over 1 Corinthians 13, it says love keeps no score of wrongs. It lets it go. Forget it. Who cares? Who cares? Let it go. So, listen, just because somebody says that my boots, in this case, don't go with my other clothes, does that make it true? Then why should I care? See what I'm saying? If somebody says, well, Tony, your haircut doesn't match the way you dress, does that make it true? Just in that person's opinion. So why do I care? And the question comes down then, well, are people's opinions more important than God's opinion? Are people's opinions bigger than my confidence in myself? And a lot of times I find out that people's opinions of me, I'm letting them be bigger than God. And weigh heavily. So somebody doesn't like what I wear, or they don't like my watch, or they don't like whatever. Well, that's fine. They don't have to. Does that mean I'm going to quit wearing it? No. Let me just say this. If you allow yourself to feel junk, and you'll usually speak it. But if you allow the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll speak joyfully, and you'll act joyfully most of the time. And that's what God wants you to have out in here this day. He wants you to come out of this place. You do, if anything else, nothing, you say, this message, we'll get this part. God wants you to walk out of here with the joy of the Lord in your heart, the joy of the Holy Spirit. And He wants you just in your heart to be through this message. Just be saying, God, I'm just going to let go of these bad feelings I've had. I don't like this senator. There's certain congressmen. Oh, you better believe that. You know, and there's the that and that stuff. And I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to hold any more resentment towards them. I'm done. You deal with them. You deal with them. Because I'm going to live above this. I'm going to rise above it. I'm going to be atop of the crowd. I'm going to be atop of life. I'm going to be who you want me to be. I'm going to rise above. I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to, you know how to conquer, by the way, whatever it is in your life that you're having troubles with? Let Jesus conquer you. Let Him be the Lord of your life. There's so many Christians have been saved, but salvation is too problem. I ask Jesus in my heart. But what do we call Jesus? Savior and Lord. I ask Jesus in my heart, I'm saved. But then I have to give Him my life. And that's an everyday experience to let Him be Lord. Salvation occurs once. Lordship occurs every day of my life. And that's where we get hung up. Jesus, be the Lord of my life today. Help me imitate You. I'm saved, but now help me to surrender to You, submit to You, be the Lord of my life. I've got to close this down. So here it is. Conquer with love, and let love conquer you. And when you let love conquer you, you'll find out you're coming out on top, and coming out on top, and coming out on top. And you'll find that when love is in your heart, and you let go of this stuff, and you're imitating God, the love of Christ begins to fill you. And stuff just doesn't hurt you. It just doesn't matter as much. Somebody doesn't like you, so what? God likes me. He died for me. He rose again for me. He's a wonderful God. And so you become gentle and kind and generous and become more forgiving. But through that you become strong. The more I have the love of God in my heart, the stronger I become. The more masculine for me, the more feminine for a woman, the more powerful in who we are meant to be. Because love is not weak. It's not so meek. It's not lying down and being a little, you know, a little rug for everybody to wipe their feet on. Just the opposite. Look at Jesus Christ. When you're filled with love and you stay on top, what happens? You're the most powerful being that there is. So I challenge you, get on top and get on with being on top. Man, let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we ask You. We ask You to help us to stay on top. That whatever's coming up from the bottom right now, anger, bitterness, keeping a list of wrongs, whatever. God, that we could just release it to You and say, here, I'm bringing it to the foot of the cross. Take it, God, take it. I don't want this in my life anymore. But God, I want to go away from the foot of the cross with Your love in my heart, with Your joy in my heart. I want to stay on top. I want to stay on top of life. I want to stay on top of the crowd. I want to stay on top of my feelings. I want to be on top of this thing. Christ in me, my hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. But the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Oh God, help us, forgive us. Let your love flow in and through us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.